This is Scott Becker with the Becker's Healthcare Podcast. I'm thrilled today to be joined by Dr. Rodrigo Cerda. Dr. Cerda is the Vice President of Clinical Care Transformation at Independence Blue Cross. He's going to talk to us today about population health, about priorities, about comparative healthcare, and a couple other things. We'll have you with us for about 12, 15 minutes today. Thank you for joining us. Dr. Cerda, can you take a moment and introduce yourself?
Sure. And first of all, thanks, Scott, for having me. Like you said, I'm at Independence Blue Cross, Independence Health Group. I've been there for about a year. I am also an internal medicine doc and public health practitioner by training, and a former strategy consultant. Worked a lot in the U.S. and for the last few years also in the U.K.
So you've had a fascinating background. I believe you were at McKinsey at one point. You've worked in different countries. You've seen a lot of healthcare. Take a moment and talk about, in your current role, what are the top 2 to 3 priorities this year?
Sure. And if you don't mind, I'll kind of talk a little bit about what my team is all about, and then we can talk about those 2 to 3 priorities. We broadly are focused on improving the care members receive by aligning incentives and payment models with providers, driving improved performance, often really with collaborating with providers, and driving clinical care innovation by supporting a pipeline of pilots designed to test new and improved ways to deliver care. I feel incredibly fortunate to be in a job where I get to experiment at the interesting interface between payer and provider, and in a company that's a part of our community here in the Philadelphia region. Interestingly enough, I think, like a lot of people, I felt like when coronavirus arrived, it made me feel like everything I was pushing for was, the priority was all of a sudden brushed aside. But then when really I had a chance to regroup and think about it a bit, I think, if anything, coronavirus has made clinical care transformation not only more necessary, but also more feasible. We were always focused on bringing care closer to home and keeping people out of the hospital when we can. And so that's even more important now when hospitals and we're all under pressure from COVID-19. So we during this time, we've been forced to do things that we were afraid of doing before, and everybody's uncomfortable. And so it's our opportunity to move forwards into a better healthcare model before we kind of slip back into and inertia takes over again. So in that context, if I had to pick 2 to 3 priorities, I'd say virtual care, home care, and then, setting up the more robust clinical care innovation pipeline. By virtual care, I mean not only being able to access a clinician when you need one remotely, I also mean way upstream of that, helping direct our members to the right site of care and thinking about the technology or monitoring devices that might need in the home and integrating those systems seamlessly to offer, a better in-person, closer in with our in-person care infrastructure. From the home care side, we've traditionally been more constrained by needing to be homebound, and COVID-19 has meant that almost everybody could meet that definition. Now we have a lot of questions about how can we deliver care better in the home? How does it interact with the virtual care technology? I think this is an area where we can all improve. And there's good evidence that people prefer to be in the home and receive care there. So, and if we're able to really substitute for higher cost care settings, I think that's a win for everybody. The third priority is a bit more internal, focused on independence in a way, but it's how do we build sustainability in clinical care innovation? We know broadly we want to move towards value-based care, but how to get there, in detail is very far from known. So creating the space and ability to invest in and test new ways of delivering care is essential. I'm working within our company to create a system to gather, evaluate, prioritize, track, and scale initiatives effectively, moving away from the kind of one-offs that require these Herculean efforts to get off the ground to a more fine-tuned innovation engine that allows us to work together with our provider partners to try new things that we think will improve quality, experience, access, and cost.
So you talk really about three big priorities. One is virtual care, second is home care, and third is turning the innovation machine on into sort of an engine, a sort of systematic effort where it doesn't require one person being so driven and motivated to drive innovation, but having a more institutional approach that fosters it and develops it. We're in a period of time where with a great amount of unemployment, a political year in its highest form coming up, there's all this discussion about nationalized health care or Medicare for all or some other kind of option. And because you're very bright and because you spent a lot of time in both the UK and here, I'll ask you for just a moment to comment on what does nationalized health care feel like in the United Kingdom? Is this something that Americans should embrace, they should be scared of? Just a few thoughts on your perceptions.
You know, it was very interesting to work with both health systems in the U.S. and the U.K. You know, the U.S., we're coming from a perspective of saying, you know, you'll never socialize my healthcare. And the interesting mirror is that in the U.K. and in England, the mirror fear is present, so that people say you'll never privatize our national health system, and both systems feel like they're so different from each other. But you know, in the end, they're both really struggling with similar problems. So how do you deliver the highest quality care to as many people who need it when they need it, and also while containing costs so that we don't funnel all of our economy to healthcare? And yes, it's true that both systems took different legacy approaches to solve the problem. The U.S. chose a market model that rewards productivity and access for those who can afford it, paying for each thing that's done, or a fee-for-service approach. The U.K., recovering from World War II, created a national health service where all payment and provision of care was public, and everyone was entitled to care that's free at the point of care. And they had a political allocation of funds that dictated budgets for given hospitals, salaries for specialists, and capitation for primary care. And those two systems have struggled with the downsides of those approaches, right? So the U.S. had a fee-for-service approach and incentivized productivity, and that's what we got. So we've gotten more healthcare at a higher cost, but not necessarily higher quality. And the U.K., with a budget-based approach, made healthcare free at the point of care for a budget, but historically has had a lot of issues with access to care, especially specialists. And the interesting thing is that in more recent years, both systems have started to come towards this interesting middle point, a hybrid approach that introduces some fee-for-service to reward productivity and access. So that, you know, that the UK used to be fully in budgets, and now they actually separated the payer function, and they do have something that they call pay-for-results, which is actually kind of like fee-for-service. We're starting to incorporate a lot more measures of outcomes and rewarding those. And we're sharing accountability for the custodianship of resources between payers, providers, and patients. So, you know, the UK is doing that in some ways. They are looking at integrated care systems, which are inspired by accountable care organizations. So even though we all feel like we're so different, we've actually learned a lot from each other. You know, in terms of what it feels like, you know, the U.S. is a richer healthcare system. We spend a lot more per capita than the U.K., more than double, almost triple. And so, you know, our hospitals in many cases look nicer. They have, you know, more marble entryways and you can, you know, it might be a bit easier to get access to a specialist in some places. But, you know, I think we all struggle. I think the U.S. struggles a bit more with with inequality in a given city. The UK might struggle with inequality in that, you know, the London hospitals might be a bit better. If you're in Cambridge or London, you might have better access and better care than in some of the more rural places. But, you know, I think in the end, a lot of the practitioners are the same. And, you know, we're all really pushing towards trying to figure out how to do the best we can with the resources we've got.
Fascinating. We've just got a minute or two left with you, Dr. Serda, and a fascinating perspective. Take a moment and talk to us about population health, just very quickly. In your sense, what kind of works, what doesn't work? If you have any sort of core thoughts on that, you can share with us in a minute or two.
Sure. So one key thing I think is that with population health, we need to be working together with providers. So traditionally, the way it's been done is a payer has their own analytics, a provider has another one, and we might disagree, and sometimes we'll work at cross purposes. And at Independence, we've been working to change that. We're sharing data bidirectionally with providers, and we come together and talk with health systems and our joint value committees. And we have in-office visits with primary care to work through what's actually going on and deciding together what we're going to do about it. And I think when you combine that with trying to bring the actionable data at the point of care and trying to use advanced analytics to predict where those population health interventions would be most effective, we're really trying to move from that, you know, a lot of insights that data can bring into the actions that are really going to improve care.
Thank you very much, Dr. Serda. A fascinating discussion on the comparative difference between the U.S. system, the U.K. system, a discussion of the big priorities that your team in Blue Cross on virtual care, home care, and also on innovation and turning it into more of an institutional engine even. And finally, some thoughts on population health and integrating the data and analytics of payers and providers and more. Dr. Serda, I want to thank you for joining us today. The discussion of England versus U.S. system in your perspective, having spent a lot of time in both, is just so interesting. And we'd love to have you on again for a podcast just on that issue. But what a pleasure to visit with you today, Dr. Serda. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much. The pleasure has been mine.
Thank you for joining the Becker's Healthcare Podcast today. A pleasure to visit with Rodrigo Serda, Vice President, Clinical Care Transformation at Independence Blue Cross. Just a pleasure to visit with you.